Okay, it should be live now.
Perfect, thank you. Good evening to everyone watching at home. Sorry for the late arrival. We had some technical difficulties, but I think we're all used to that now with 2020 behind us. Just a quick housekeeping item. Anybody on the call can stay unmuted for the moment of silence and the Pledge of Allegiance. And then after that, we would ask that if you're not speaking, to please mute your microphone so that we don't get any background noise. We'll call to order our regularly scheduled mayor and council meeting for January 11th, 2021. And as I just mentioned, in October 2020, we stopped saying the Lord's Prayer in an effort to increase the inclusivity at town hall and during our meetings, as well as limit the liability for the town and the citizens of Berlin. So in meeting with the council members and members of the public, we found that the best way to move forward and to fill that void is with a moment of silence. So that'll give an opportunity for anybody that wishes to pray to do so, or to reflect on the business before the mayor and council that for that particular evening. So with that being said, please join me in a moment of silence, and then we'll follow that with the Pledge of Allegiance. All right, so please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of
the United States of America,
and to the Republic
for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty
and justice
for all.
Thank you. And now we'll move into the first item on our agenda, which is the approval of the regular session minutes from December 14th, 2020.
Mayor, I just had one correction. It's in paragraph 3, page 2. It's the second sentence to the end, starting with Ms. Holloway. It reads, she can assist the town in doing that and hey can perform. I believe that should be they can perform.
Thank you for catching that.
Sure. With that a correction, I make a motion to approve.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Orris.
I'll second.
And we have a second by Councilmember Nur. Also, another quick housekeeping thing before we pull vote. We will do a roll call vote because I noticed it was difficult to be able to hear who was voting and when. So Councilmember Burrell.
Vote to approve.
Councilmember Nichols.
Vote to approve.
Councilmember Purnell.
Approve. Am I on now?
You are. We can see.
Oh,
you.
Good. Okay.
Thank you. So the minutes from our regular session of December 14th, 2020 passed unanimously with all council members present. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the work session with District 38 delegation, which was held on December 17th, 2020.
Mr. Mayor, just to go back on, the regular session was approved with a correction. And
correct. I apologize. Approved with the correction by Councilmember Orris unanimously.
And then I'll move to approve the work session minutes.
So I have a motion by Councilmember Orris to approve the work session minutes from December 17th, 2020. I'm looking for a second.
Second.
I have a second by Councilmember Nur. Councilmember Burrell, how do you vote?
Vote to approve.
Councilmember Nichols.
Vote to approve.
Councilmember Purnell.
Approve.
And the work session minutes from the meeting with District 38 delegation on December 17th, 2020 passed unanimously. The second item on our agenda is motion 2021-01, and that is approving the deed of real property and right of way for Maryland 376 to SHA for some road work improvements that are taking place in that area. And with us on the call, we have Brett, Doug, and Judd from State Highway, and staff level, Dave Englehart and Jeff Fleetwood will be taking the lead.
And Dave, if you would, go ahead and get this rolling.
these are easements that are required as far as the motion that's in front of the mayor and council for the geometric improvements of Bay Street Extended, Maryland Route 376, and its intersection with US Route 113. There are four different areas, as you saw on the exhibit that was provided in your packet. This is a small version, it's color coded. There is one area where we are actually conveying the property to the state highway, the Maryland Department of Transportation, State Highway, State Roads Commission, where we are giving that property to the state. The other three areas are easements. One's a temporary easement, and the other two are perpetual easements. Again, this is for to enable the widening of that intersection and that corridor of Bay Street / Assateague Road, Maryland 376. Are there any questions or?
I would just ask if Kelsey or Mary, whoever's controlling the PowerPoint, can you show a couple of the other exhibits just for everybody at home so that we can see? Maybe Judd or Brett or Doug, maybe you could elaborate a little bit on what we're looking at here, if you don't mind, just for everybody watching at home.
I'm sure. This is Judd Vickers with State Highway. Mayor and council members, thank you very much for having us again this evening. So we have three total attachments for the presentation tonight. One is the actual plat that shows the areas that would be conveyed. And then the other two are depictions that were created by our construction engineering group that really show a little more of what's being done. And you'll see on US 113, the proposed expansion of the turn lane, and then what our actual plans are on 376 and what that will look like in practice once that turn lane is widened. And then the traffic will turn onto 376, and then 376 will also have a longer turn lane onto 113.
Very nice, thank you. And we are seeking action by the mayor and council this evening to transfer those right-of-ways so the state highway can continue with their progress.
And mayor and council, I do want to, on this particular slide, what I'd like for everyone to be well aware of as well, if everyone would focus on where the Dollar General is, that existing sidewalk that runs east down 376, I think we all know that it's a sidewalk basically to nowhere and then it picks up again. The state highway has assured me that when this is finished, that sidewalk will be contiguous.
Correct.
As shared with by council member Nichols at the work session, these improvements can only enhance and make our community safer. So I would like to move to approve this request.
And Mayor, before you go forward, I also, for the folks at home, I just want to make sure that everyone understands that the mayor and council, sometime back, maybe a year and a half ago, the conversation came up about realigning Decatur and Flower Street. So when this project with SHA is completed, we still have what we need as far as real estate to do that alignment. So we're not losing that as an option.
Thank you for clarifying. So we have a motion by council member Burrell to approve the transfer of property to State Highway. I'm looking for a second.
I'll second that motion.
And I have a second by council member Nichols. And council member Orris, how do you vote?
Approve, aye.
And council member Nur?
In favor.
Council member Purnell?
Aye.
All right, and this passes unanimously. Judd, Brett, Doug, thank you so much. And
thank you all so much.
We can't wait to see the finished product.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Have a good evening.
You too. All right, we'll give them a moment to drop off the call. All right. The second item on our agenda is motion 2021-02, approving the mandated amendments to the use of force general order. Police Chief Arnold Downing will be taking the lead at the staff level for this.
Good evening, everyone. What we have before us today is an mandated change to our use of force policy. Actually, it's adding of two statements that the presidential executive order on safe policing for safe communities advises that has to be included by all law enforcement agencies. The first statement that is included in the use of the actual policy itself is that all federal, state, and local laws will be followed. And that one statement is shown. And the other is actually a statement on prohibiting the use of chokeholds except for following the guidelines that are established. So those two things were actually put inside of the policy. And if they were not put in, we would actually have lost the federal discretionary funds after January the 31st. So we're asking you just to go ahead and approve this. We will be looking at the actual use of force policy with our insurance carrier, which is legit, and law enforcement representative there with staff to go ahead and enhance that right after the state delegates go ahead and put in their mandates that they will go ahead and issue to us as part of the changes in the laws to come. Any questions?
Do we have any questions for the chief?
Chief, I just had a curiosity question. In your document, the for non-lethal use of force, the criteria for using pepper spray versus a taser are very similar. So what in what situation would it offer an officer select one over the other?
First of all, they have to go ahead and have it. Not all officers have both of those tools. Gotcha. And they actually fall exactly in the same line. So again, it's not a difference in those two. If someone's running away from you, you know, you can't go ahead and have someone running away from you and using a taser, and you can't go ahead and use mace if someone's not facing you. So you have to go ahead and look at a discretionary type of thing. A lot of times we have to use mace more for crowds and instead of individuals. But again, it has to be tools that people are trained with.
Thank you.
Do we have any other questions for the police chief?
I had one question, chief. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. The you said not all officers are armed with both. Is that what you said?
That is correct.
So how do you decide who, how does it disseminate? Like how's that decided who gets which or both?
Well, again, you have to be trained, that's one. And number two, the availability. And then the last one is what they choose to carry. Again, if you try to put on everything that is available to you, you'll be walking around with 102 pounds worth of equipment. So again, you know, preference is gonna be a big part of it. Most of our officers do not carry mace on a regular basis now. Taser is the tool of choice. And again, not everyone who here has been trained in taser. So, and again, it's ECD now, electrical control device. Then they're not allowed to go ahead and use that tool.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. There's no other questions. I'd like to make a motion. We approve the new policy.
Second.
So I have a motion by Councilmember Nur and a second by Councilmember Burrell for motion 2021-02, the amendments to bring our use of force general order up to the federal compliance. Councilmember Orris, how do you vote?
In favor.
Councilmember Nichols?
In favor.
Councilmember Purnell?
Aye.
And the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much.
And we'll move on to agenda item number 4, which is the town administrator's report.
Mayor and Council, I have a very short report. I just want everyone aware that our sourcing or advertising for Dave Wheaton's replacement once he retires that has gone out for the world to see. And I want everybody to be clear on what we're hiring. Dave Wheaton has proudly served since Wendell passed away as our superintendent of the Public Works Department. He is not a superintendent of sanitation. He's not a superintendent of the mechanic. He is a superintendent of Public Works, which encompasses maintenance, streets, and sanitation. So that's gone out for the world to see, and response thus far has been warm, as I'll call it, but it doesn't hit the newspapers until later in this week. So the game plan is to do paper screening, telephonic screening before staff begins the interview process. And the game plan is to make all this happen with a hopeful start date for the new selectee on or about the 1st of March. That way we have about a 30-day overlap with Dave Wheaton. And then Natalie has been working on a budget schedule. It's something that Councilmember Burrell and Councilmember Purnell have seen before, and Mayor Tindall has seen before, but we're working on that. That should be out very soon. That concludes my report.
Thank you. I think this is also a good opportunity to highlight the work that our town administrator does in conjunction with all the other department heads that we have. But the town administrator really wears two hats. And when we started looking at this position, the town administrator and I had a discussion, and he felt very comfortable with the workload. And he also handles, in addition to his roles as a town administrator, he does serve as the department head for our Public Works Department. So that transitions into a pretty big value add for the people of Berlin. So just an important note there. So Town Administrator Fleetwood, can you lead us off in our department reports?
I will, and I'm going to play the Hollywood Squares. Dave Engelhardt.
Yes, sir.
You're up.
I just wanted to, every year at this time, I try to give everybody an idea how many permits we had in the previous calendar year. So for the year 2020, we had a total of 308 permits, which is a pretty big jump from 2019, where we had 232. 2018, we had 195 total permits, and 2017, 235 units. So permits. And in 2020, we had 5 new single family homes. In 2019, we had 9. That was a busy year. 2018, we had 6, and 2017, we had 6. So that's a total of 26 new homes, single family homes, in the last 4 calendar years. As far as other dwelling units, which we would consider a single family dwelling unit, or also apartment units and townhouses, the 4-year total is 274. So you can see we've become a lot busier, a lot more population. If you go by the latest, I don't know about what we just concluded with the census, but previous data in Worcester County calls for 2.3 residents per dwelling unit. That's our average in Worcester County. I think Berlin, we probably have a little more density than that. If you think about all the school children we have, school age children, all the schools seem to be at capacity or growing towards it. So I think this is a good trend. Shows our ability to add infill properties where we have services, water, sewer, electric. It also shows our popularity and our vitality. So overall, I think this is a good trend we have. Keeps us busy and also helps with the tax base, helps with our different utilities and of course, fees and paying for them. That's all I have, Jeff.
Okay, thank you. Natalie? Ground control to Natalie, are you there? Okay, we'll come back to Natalie. Mary?
First, I just want to apologize for the delays earlier. As so often happens, technology sometimes gets the better of us. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. It wasn't appearing exactly as I expected it to. I usually am able this time of year when things get a little bit slower to work on projects that require a lot more attention to, or a timely attention to detail. Right now, what I'm working on is organizing the town's deeds and easements. As you can imagine, there are quite a few of those over the years, which can in some cases date back almost 200 years. They have been filed more or less chronologically, which does not serve very well when you're trying to find one particular piece of property. So I am trying to establish a system by which they're cross-referenced by the type of document it is, a deed or an easement, a utility easement, various different things, and get them identified by street address where appropriate, property tax ID numbers, and there are several other numbers that particularly the state uses to identify properties that I'm also trying to cross-reference. So it's a time-consuming and somewhat dull project, but it will make things a lot easier. As several staff members can attest, we frequently need to find deeds and easements, and they're not always easy to find under their current system. That's all I have.
Okay, we'll try Natalie again. Okay, let's move on to Jamie.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. How are you all tonight?
Doing well, thank you.
We've been working on pulling some pumps. It seems like a lot here lately. Had a couple water leaks we've been repaired. Just getting end of the year reports in to MDE and just trying to tidy up the end of the year. That's all I have.
Okay. Tim?
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Okay. This is my first try at this, so I hope I do okay. As far as the electric department, we had several projects going on. Number two, Stevenson Lane, that's the new building that Mr. Girardi's building over there behind Fens. We installed the underground service, energized it, and set all the meters. The only thing left we have to do there is install a street light. And then for the SHA project at Route 376 and Route 113, we had to set the dead end pole for the for Verizon. It's the last pole that's going to be on that side of the road. Right as you pass the Dollar General, there's a new pole there. The State Highway asked that we go ahead and set that so Verizon could start planning on their work. And then also downtown, we removed all the Christmas lights, the Christmas tree. So we took care of that. And then also 208 Henry's Mill Road, and then 201 President Court is two new solar customers. We just changed out the meters to net meters that record import export power. And we have three other solar systems that are going to be coming online, residential, probably in the next 30 days or so. And then we have the one here at the Schoolfield Street that we're waiting on approval from Maryland Energy Administration, which it looks like most likely we're going to be approved for that. That's a 49 kW system. And then one of our linemen had a milestone this coming week. He is going to step four of the lineman training program. That's halfway. So he's halfway to the finish line. That's a four-year program, so he's in the fourth step. And then we have meter rereads and meter reading. And that's it.
Okay. And if I could fill in some blanks, Tim, I was going to have you discuss the linesman apprentices.
Okay.
We have for the new council members, the electric utility has invested, or the town has invested, in two linesman apprentices. And again, as Tim mentioned, it's a 4-year program, quite a number of hours of hands-on, formal schooling, and then the ultimate is when Tim gets to sign off on these folks. Again, the game plan with those two folks is to be, we have some folks in the electric utility that are eligible to retire. We don't know when they're going to retire, but the plan is to have some in-house continuity, and these folks would be these two apprentices would be our step in, and it would be a seamless transition. So,
right.
And we have one, as Tim mentioned, that's halfway through, so the investment is paid off. And I know, Tim, you've been here since I've been here. Mm-hmm. Have we had any of our apprentices other than the two that we have now that have made it this far?
No.
Okay, so this is a milestone.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
Yep.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you.
Natalie? She's unmuted. Natalie? Okay, let's move on to Chief. Are you still on the line, Chief? No,
I am.
Oh, you are. Go ahead.
We did hire, or actually start the two new hires on the 4th. One a certified officer, Mr. Avery Marshall, and we have a Mr. Ian Spencer, who started the academy on Tuesday the 5th. So we're proud to have those two starting and moving forward. We're working on the training records and weapons qualifications, turning those into the training commission for last year. And we had a great closeout of the year with, being Secret Santa, and we gave out a whole training room full of toys. And what we did have left over, we actually had two daycare providers come in and actually give them out to three different daycare. So we're real proud of that and glad we had a good end to 2020. That's my report.
I'm going to try Natalie again.
I have a question for Chief.
Yep.
Go ahead.
With the new two hires, are you now fully staffed as it relates to the officers?
Yes. The numbers are full of staff with the officers. Hopefully we'll have the FTO training for Odegaard, who just got out of the academy and was sworn in at the end of the year. Him being on his own within 2.5 to 3 months. Ian has 6 months academy, and then after that he has the FTO, and our certified officer should be on his own within a month.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, we're going to do Natalie again. Go ahead, Natalie, you're up.
So as Jeff mentioned, we're working on the budget, and I asked department heads to present their capital needs by January 31st. So we're going to be creating two separate lists. One is what we would like to see in capital outlets or capital purchases for upcoming fiscal year, and then the items that we must have. Going forward, I will be meeting with departments to go over the budget and planning, and then as the schedule will be posted on the website, we will go to the workshops as scheduled. Working with Jim Holloway to provide more information so we can present some summary that she promised coming up. I guess February was a little bit of delay through the holidays. She has to teach some classes. I am working on 6 months performance for general fund. That information will go your way very soon, hopefully by the end of January. And also I have exciting news. We have the most successful year to collect contributions to our electric energy fund. All the citizens donated $5,500. The town will match the same. So this amount will go to Shore Up and will go to the low income families to assist with electric bills. That's all I have. Thank you. And I apologize, something going on. I cannot connect.
OK, Okay. Questions for Natalie? All right, Ivy. Yep. Ivy.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Just wanted to report that this is the first day of Restaurant Week in Berlin. There is a Facebook event that lists all the menus for the downtown restaurants. And there's also this, the Restaurant Week is sponsored by Cam Bunting from Bunting Realty. And she, every year, she's always offered a contest. So when you dine three times, you can take your dining card. But before COVID, you could take your dining card in and get it stamped at three different restaurants. But due to the pandemic, we had a little conversation and we've amended that for this year. So you take copies of your receipts and you staple them to your card and you drop them in the drop box in the foyer of the Welcome Center, which is open 24/7. And I'd like to thank Cam Bunting once again for sponsoring that this year. The prizes are gift cards from each of the restaurants plus $100 cash. And the winner is chosen completely randomly. We do a drawing at the end of Restaurant Week. Also working with Melissa Reed with Buckingham Elementary on an art and writing project for the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday coming up. There's a drop-off box at the Welcome Center. Kids are doing either a drawing or writing a paragraph called I Have a Dream. I did this a few years ago with Melissa and it worked out really nicely. So we're doing it again. And each of the artwork is going to be displayed in the windows of the Welcome Center and a variety of our downtown shop windows. And then as an incentive to get the kids to do this there's five Island Creamery of gift cards that we'll be randomly drawing. Each child will have his or her name put into a basket and then we'll draw five names to win a gift certificate to Island Creamery. So thank you to Island Creamery for sponsoring that as well. And Governor Hogan spoke this morning at 11 a.m. about the relief package. So going to be learning about that within the next few days. There's a variety of grants out there for our local business community. And just until things are finalized, I haven't sent out anything regarding them just because things aren't finalized yet. And I know everyone gets bombarded with so many different emails. So I wanted to put it all into a nice, neat package once I have all the information. So that'll hopefully happen next week or the week after. And I'm still waiting on word from Department of Housing and Community Development on the strategic demolition grant and the new facade grant funding and the Maryland Main Street grant for our small businesses. So I'm still waiting word on that. We were all hoping that Governor Hogan was gonna make that announcement this morning, but he did not. So as soon as I find out information, I will let you all know. And that's the end of my report.
Thank you, Ivy. Kelsey?
I just wanted to make a note that the job posting for the Public Works Superintendent was posted to Facebook as well, and we are receiving several applications through Facebook Messenger, but in the job description it does say to submit applications either to myself, kjensen@berlinmd.gov, or you can submit the application right on the website. I just want to make that clear. We aren't going through the Facebook Messenger and accepting those applications. They need to be submitted through the town's website or directly to my email. If you have any questions, you can give us a call here at Town Hall. And then I've been working on the total compensation statements that will go out with the employees' W-2s. Those include everything for each employee as far as health, medical, everything that's provided to the employees. And that will go out with your W-2s. Lastly, the B City designation is up for renewal in February, so I am working on that application as well. That one, they are aware that with COVID, we weren't really able to have any activities that were related to the bees because we weren't really having outdoor gatherings or really any gatherings of sorts this year. So they are aware of that. So we're going to put a plan in place for hopefully next year we can get something going. But yeah, so that's all I've got, just working on those things.
And the other thing that Kelsey will have that will go out with the W-2s and the total comp statements will be the 1095-Cs. For the folks that don't know what that is, if you have health insurance with the, through the town, through this employer, you need your 1095 for your federal income tax. So that will be coming out. It's if she times it right, it's a four package deal because you include a paycheck as well for the employees. So it's a happy day for all. And I also wanted to share that with Tim's report, the solar grant that we are looking at getting, it's not officially approved, but it looks very good. It is a reimbursable grant up to, I believe, Tim, I think $125,000?
It's $122,385.
So the good news is Tim has worked very hard on this with Carter Catt. Carter Catt is willing to front that for us, and it'll be a pass-through of money once we get it through the state back to Carter Catt. So effectively no money coming from our account. So that's good news. Mayor, that concludes everything I have.
I did have one thing to add, Mayor, if I could.
Go ahead.
As Ivy noted, Monday is the Martin Luther King Jr. Day holiday. Just so that folks are aware, any recycling collection normally scheduled for Monday will be collected on Tuesday, as most town offices are closed on Monday.
Thank you for that. Also, that was a lot of information at once. So if any council members have questions regarding the departmental reports, go ahead.
Question for Kelsey. The total compensation packet, that will include a bottom number related to the cost of employment for the town, to the town.
Kelsey, if I may, that actually represents, and I'm going to make it a street simple, as I call it. It tells you what your total worth is to the town based off any benefit and or money that you may receive.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Kelsey.
Great question. Do we have any other questions regarding the departmental reports? All right, so we will move on to the mayor's report, and I have nothing to report. However, I do want to make a comment about our time on Zoom and working through some of the troubles. I think that this has been something new for all of us. And overall, I mean, I think as much as anyone else, we miss the in-person interaction and most definitely the opportunity to hear from the public one-on-one. But I must say that everybody's doing a great job of making sure that we're able to continue with the work that we have to do here and making sure that we're able to do that in the best way possible while keeping everyone safe. So that concludes my report, and we'll roll into the council members just as they are on my screen. And I have Council Member Burrell.
I just have two things. First, I'd like to ask Jeff, do you have any update on the streetlights?
I'm going to defer to Tim. Tim, the streetlights that I called you about the other day, any update? Tim?
Oh, sorry about that. I forgot to unmute. You talking about the streetlights downtown or the one?
Shell Street and 113 Hudson and 113 in Franklin.
The ones on Franklin belong to the town of Berlin, which they'll be repaired tomorrow. The other two, the one at the end of Shell and Route 113, and then the other one over on Branch Street, they belong to the State Highway Department, which I'll notify them about those tomorrow morning.
Could you keep me posted on the progress?
Yes, sir.
I sure would appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And to the mayor and to our town administrator, recently we have lost two past council members And I do so very much appreciate your accolades and attention to these individuals and your condolences to the families. It's greatly appreciated. In fact, the seat occupied by John Dale Smack is the seat that I occupy now. So thank you both.
Thank you. I hope it's something that will outlive every single one of us on this call, and that anytime somebody that has devoted that much time and energy and faith to their town would be honored in such a way. So thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Up next, I have Council Member Orris.
Yeah, first, I just want to say Happy New Year, everybody, and it's good to see everyone again. I just have one quick thing. I'd like to just briefly talk about the check register that's in the packets. And I do appreciate them, and I usually have questions about what they mean. And I thank staff, Jeff, for answering the Republic Services question about the Heron Park dumpster for about $2,000. But I'm just wondering if it's possible, and I don't know if my colleagues agree with me on this, but as we come into budget time, is there a way to do like a little bit more description on these checks, like in the memo, maybe not all of them, but maybe some over a substantial amount? Is that doable?
I think we had one round. I think the first packet we produced had a rather voluminous amount of description, and the packet was pretty big. So I'm going to defer to Natalie and Jeff on how to do that. But I think that you're hitting a great point with a little bit more detail with some of them would be helpful.
Yeah, and maybe we can set a limit. I don't know, anything over 2,000 or three, something to that effect.
And I think the town administrator is trying to get our finance director.
And I spoke with Natalie. She said that the description portion in Tyler is limited to a number of characters. So it's very short. So it'd be very difficult to give something that would add clarity to this.
Do you think that the previous way that we had it described, I think this one's more of a list format, if I'm not mistaken. And one of the ones that we previously had a little bit more description to the items. I could be mistaken.
Well, then I get into, and again, you know, we're willing to do what's directed, but then we get into an issue now. How much paper do you want to print?
And I understand.
Okay.
So
I may suggest, I mean, again, we're open to what you folks decide, but I mean, the phone always works if you want to give a call about specific checks. I mean, I'll give you the description.
So maybe what we can do is think about a possible limit threshold, if that's something you would like to pursue. I don't know how the other council members feel, if they want to call in for specific things, if there's a question about something. I know that staff are very receptive to that. Or if you would like to see more of a description on the checks, the actual printout of the description. Does anybody feel passionately?
I don't have a problem with calling in. I usually do that anyway.
Just as long as we're using that space allocated for the description to its fullest, I don't have a problem with calling in either.
And if there's ever something that you think that could be described in a better way, I'm sure we're all open ears to making sure that it's easier to understand. So if you see something, from what I recall, Councilmember Orris, I think it was a rather voluminous report when we generated it with one of our first meeting packets in October.
I don't want to, you know, make a War and Peace out of a meeting packet, but some of the bigger ticket items, I think, deserve a little bit of description, if we can.
And do you think a threshold of $2,000, $3,000, $10,000?
Well, how about I look at them again and get back to everyone? I actually had it open on the other link, but then I closed it out. So let me let me look into that, please.
Yeah, that's perfect. And then just get in touch with Jeff and our finance director, Natalie Salee, and they'll be able to help if there's more description for a larger ticket item that's needed.
If you would like to see what packet Zach is referring to in October, it was the October 26th packet, and it's just a little more detailed, but not too much more than what you're currently receiving, but it is a little bit more.
Thank you, Kelsey.
Okay, I'll check it out. I just wanted to throw it out there, and I have nothing further.
Thank you, Councilmember Orts. Councilmember Nair? You're still muted, Councilmember Nair.
Yeah, nothing to report at this time. Just Happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you. Councilmember Nichols?
Like Mr. Burrell had first of all, Happy New Year, fellas. Like Mr. Burrell had stated, I too got a few phone calls or received a few phone calls commending the town for the notice for the passing of Mr. Smack, and a lot of people were very appreciative of the notice that was given. So that meant a lot. And thank you all, you know what I mean, for standing up and making that notice for those council members that have passed. Other than that, nothing to report.
Thank you. Council Member Purnell.
I would just like to tell everybody Happy New Year and great seeing you all, and look forward to a better 2021.
As do all of we. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
So we'll move on to item number 8, which is comments from the public. Kelsey, Mary, have we received any questions from the public?
Other than what I passed on to you earlier today, no.
Okay. Could you read those if you don't mind?
I don't have it in front of me, but I will try to.
I have them printed.
Okay. Thank you, Kelsey.
Yep. Okay, the questions were submitted from Marie Vallong. Question number 1, I was wondering what kind of training is involved in the use of weapons, specifically guns, on dogs. My grand dog is a part pit mutt and very vocal. She talks and growls to communicate with us. I fear if she met an officer at the door, her actions might be interpreted as aggressive, and I do not want her shot because something was misinterpreted.
Do we still have the police chief on?
Yes,
you do.
Chief, do you mind addressing Ms. Vallong's question?
Again, I don't see that as a concern on our side. If an animal is actually making a threat off the property or, you know, harming someone, that's an issue. I don't see any issue with a dog being in a property owner's house.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, she has 4 total. Question number 2, in training with a gun, is wounding the suspect ever considered over a kill shot? Many times that seems like a way to de-escalate the situation without a fatality.
Police chief, you're up again.
Again, I asked Ms. Vallong to go ahead and give me a call, and I can go ahead and answer her questions. It's not the appropriate venue, nor I wouldn't be able to go ahead and give her the proper due time and attention to her true questions.
Thank you. Any more, Kelsey?
Yes. Question number 3. I assume the $150 checks to the employees was a Christmas bonus. No objection, just clarifying. I do not remember it being mentioned.
And do we still have Natalie or Jeff? Would you like to take that?
No, the check register shows the $150 checks. That was for the second quarter of the current FY for cell phone allowances.
Thank you. Kelsey?
And the last question is, having a Zoom meeting through Facebook isn't beneficial. Facebook Live isn't beneficial to the public. I am glad you are taking safety precautions for council members, but it does not improve the public's ability to comment. Have you considered a Zoom meeting to include the packet or the public? Sorry.
And I don't mind taking that one. The Zoom meetings, this is all new to every one of us. We began with this format. It's familiar. We want everybody we'll continue to pump these out on Facebook. People learn the technology early on, and we're not going to change course if that's the mechanism that people are comfortable with. However, Zoom does offer some additional capabilities. You'll see those roll out during times of public hearings with different boards and commissions, and hopefully at some point with our council meetings as well. We miss the public interaction as much as the public probably misses the interaction with us. Well, and so that is something that we hope to work towards. So those are great questions. Do we have any other questions from the public?
We do not.
And do we have any comments or questions from the press?
We do not.
All right.
Amen from the press, move to adjourn.
Thank you. Councilmember Burrell made a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Councilmember Purnell. I think we can take this one as a roll or a typical vote.